by way of introduction, could you tell us a bit about your background and how you came to the Kentucky Housing Corporation?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, thank you for having me on. I started my career leaving Murray State. I was a Murray State graduate, was in the business program at Murray State, and my first job out of leaving Murray State was in the mortgage industry. Worked in the mortgage industry in 2006, and of course that was the time where the mortgage and the housing markets were crashing at that time. Really, my wife and I, we were young and wanted to move to a bigger city, so wound up getting a job with Senator Jim Bunning from Kentucky, and moving to Washington D.C. to work in his office. And worked there from 2007 to 2010 until he announced his retirement. And then I spent about a year and a half as a fixed income investigations analyst for the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. Mm-hmm. Working in the bond markets there. But really, my wife and I wanted to get back to Kentucky and decided to move back to northern Kentucky. She's from northern Kentucky. I'm originally from western Kentucky. So we compromised and moved back to northern Kentucky, and I got a job there teaching full-time at Northern Kentucky University. Mm-hmm. And taught finance there full-time for a year as they searched for a PhD candidate. I have my master's in finance and remained on their adjunct list beyond that year. So I've taught as an adjunct in years after that. But wanted to get back into policy, and so I left there and wound up a few years later, got a job as the Chief of Staff of the Finance Administration Cabinet under Governor Bevin, and in that capacity, for the past year and a half or so, I've served as the Vice Chairman of the Kentucky Housing Corporation. So really, it was was heavily involved in Kentucky Housing Corporation and policy and everything at the board level, and really was a natural transition from that role into the executive director role that I sit in now.
Well, let's turn our attention to the agency. Could you talk a little bit about the KHC's mission?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, affordable housing, it's really the foundation for families and children to thrive and have, you know, successful outcomes. Kentucky Housing Corporation, they are Kentucky's housing finance agency. So every state has an HFA, if you will, that meets affordable housing needs through issuing housing bonds, housing tax credits, and really other federal resources. KHC, many people don't know this, is a self-supporting agency. It's a quasi-governmental agency that invests in various affordable housing solutions for Kentucky specifically. They receive no general fund appropriation. In fact, corporate expenses are paid through the income that we earn on tax-exempt mortgage bonding and fee income from different federal programs that we administrate.
When you say quasi-governmental, what does that mean?
So Kentucky Housing, we were created in 1972 by the legislature. So as part of a federal housing policy, like I said, every state has an HFA. And in 1972, the state legislature, they set up an independent municipal corporation. So KHC is considered an independent municipal corporation under the direction of a board of directors who are then appointed by the governor.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the numbers. Yeah. Can you give us a snapshot of low-income housing? What does it look like in the Commonwealth?
Just as a frame of reference, in the last fiscal year, KHC invested $791 million statewide in affordable housing. And over the past 45 years, KHC has made homeownership possible for around 94,000 Kentuckians. Specifically in Western Kentucky, we really lack partners in Western Kentucky in that area. So I mentioned the $791 million that we have invested in statewide. Of that, we've really only invested $59 million in Western Kentucky. So the lack of investment compared to the rest of the state is really because that we don't have a huge network. So I see really an opportunity there to grow some of our affordable housing initiatives in Western Kentucky. We really are looking to bring new partners, whether it be nonprofits, lenders, builders, counselors, to sort of build a network that can bring affordable housing opportunities to that part of the state. We just did what's called the K count, the Kentucky count. It's at the federal level, it's called the point in time count. But to give you some idea of homeless numbers, KHC found that there are 212 homeless individuals in the Purchase and Pennyryle area development districts. Now, that is about 0.05% of the population compared to, let's say, 0.09% for the state. So that low of a number could also be from the simple fact that we don't have the volunteers and the partnerships there in Western Kentucky in order to count those individuals. I hope that those numbers are low, but we really need to improve our network there, and I really do see that as an opportunity to improve that network to get better numbers on the ground, but and also find better solutions for your region of the state.
Well, speaking of solutions, what's on your to-do list as executive director?
Really, I want to focus a major initiative that I want to promote during my tenure at Kentucky Housing is to focus on what I would call outcomes-focused housing. I want to look at new and innovative ways that we can solve housing problems while solving other problems that are related to housing. So, for example, we have two really good programs right now that I sort of want to take those as good framework to build upon, one of them being Recovery Kentucky and the other being the Scholar House program. So in your area of the state, Paducah is home to the Center Point Recovery Center for Men, and Hopkinsville has the Trilogy Center for Women. And Recovery Kentucky was created to help Kentuckians recover from substance abuse, which, you know, we found that often leads to chronic homelessness. So those programs in Paducah and Hopkinsville and then throughout the state were really designed to reduce the state's drug problem and resolve some of the state's homeless issues. That program specifically is a joint effort between the Department for Local Government, the Department for Corrections, and then, of course, us, KHC. Scholar House, in your area, you might be familiar with the Scholar House of Paducah. That Scholar House is affiliated with the Western Kentucky Community and Technical College. And really, it provides opportunities for education, learning life skills for self-sufficiency, and provides, you know, stable employment to break that cycle of poverty for families participating in that. It's basically a housing and education initiative that enables the head of household to reach self-sufficiency. In fact, in the Louisville area, we just recently had, I believe it was 62 single parents who graduated from college. So they got housing, and they also got that supportive network to become very productive members of society. Now they can make the earnings to support their families.
I'm curious, because with an agency such as yours that's created to address either a need or a problem, to a degree you're always kind of working to eventually guarantee your obsolescence. You know, there will become a day when people don't need the help, they don't need the services. What do you see long term in that way?
At the end of the day, I would love if Kentucky Housing didn't have a need to exist because there weren't people to serve. That's the ultimate goal. Our success is the success of the people we help. So there's always going to be this problem, but how do we address it? How do we mitigate some of the things that lead to homelessness, that lead to these issues? Obviously, the number one factor, and I would love to see more jobs in Kentucky. If people had more jobs and were able to have higher salaries to afford housing, then by all means, let's do that route. And I think you're seeing that a lot at the state level with the job creation going on in the state right now. So ultimately, that's a solution for affordable housing. There's also that piece that as salaries increase, as home prices and the housing markets improve, there's still going to be a sector of people that are left behind that can't reach those rising prices. So it's how we address that is through some of the innovative solutions that I think we should focus on, and what really leads to those issues and why they can't afford it. A lot of it, again, is either drug-related or it's people who, you know, might have a child early in their lives and can't afford college or they don't have the support system to go to college. So how do we make those people productive members of society? Really, one of the things that the governor has focused on is the foster care system. And that's something that I really want to look at is the population of children aging out of the foster care system. These kids don't have a place to go, and we do have some transitional type housing solutions for them, but really, how do we build upon that? A lot of those programs only last a year, and what does that kid really learn in that year? You know, how can we build upon that? I want to look at different ways that we can solve these housing solutions by addressing specific issues that lead to those housing issues.
Coming to the solutions before they become problems.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then affordable housing, too. A lot of people, when they think of affordable housing, they hear affordable housing, they think, oh, you know, Section 8 voucher type. Right. Housing, multifamily apartments, things like that. But really, affordable housing is so much more. We do more than just those type of programs. We, of course, administer the federal Section 8 program. We also help that person reach homeownership who can't maybe necessarily get that conventional loan from that bank. We assist them in getting an affordable mortgage, because a lot of times, quite frankly, a mortgage might be cheaper than rent. So how do we meet that population who might just be starting a brand new job or starting a brand new family? How do we help them reach homeownership? Homeownership really drives the economy. It actually accounts for about 14% of economic impact in the United States in our economy. So it's a big economic driver, and that's really another area we focus on as well. I would like to point out that here coming up, we're happy to announce that we're about to start these what we call Housing Connect, Collaborate, and Innovate Summits. We're going to be having one there in Hopkinsville at the Silo Event Center on October 19th. It's a way that we can meet with different partners in the state, whether it be lenders, whether it be developers, nonprofits, what have you, to really get ideas for innovative housing solutions, to give them a venue to talk about those ideas with us and to ask us questions at Kentucky Housing. So I'm really excited about that. Like I said, it's at the Silo Event Center on October 19th in Hopkinsville. Mm-hmm. We're also having three more in Berea, Covington, and Elizabethtown later this year. So we really look forward to that, and I would encourage listeners, if, you know, when someone is ready to purchase a home, seek information on how much home they can afford. We want listeners to seek out Kentucky Housing Corporation, because through our network of lending partners, we offer fixed-rate loans for 30 years with down payment assistance. I would certainly encourage listeners to visit our website at KentuckyHousing.org.
Edwin King is Executive Director of the Kentucky Housing Corporation. Mr. King, thanks for taking the time.
All right. Thank you, Todd.